WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to 90.7 The Capstone. You are now listening to the student section. We're going to talk all things college football today. My name is Tanner Thompson, along with Adrian Wesley, Elliot Miller, and Graham Bacco. Fellas, before we get into it, how are we doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Adrian's great.
I'm great.
Elliot's doing something weird above
Elliot's
the mic.
I was not doing anything.
No, you're just,
I just need the viewers to know, okay?
Elliot's always doing
something. I'm feeling
weird.
Great about this show. We're about to put on a legendary show for
this
all of you.
This is about to be a class.
Okay?
We
also,
sure
I was just getting my yoga stretches in, okay?
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
You up to, what, 5 times a week in yoga?
What did you say?
I mean, how many times a week do you do yoga now?
I'm doing it before every show now.
There you go. Oh. Good for you, man. So once a week.
Okay. Once a week. What a
all right. All right. All right. This is a college football show. We should probably talk some college football. First game that we want to talk about is going to be Kansas State, Texas. Obviously a bit of a heartbreaker for Kansas State.
It's a heartbreaker for me.
Yeah.
Texas was up 27-7 at one point in this game, and Kansas State brought it back and got to OT. Elliot, what did you take away from this game?
There are so many things that I could say about this. Okay? Let me sum this up real quick, okay? I just want to talk about really in let's not even talk about the fact that Texas blew a 27-7 lead, okay?
Right.
Let's not talk about the fact that Kansas State also blew away their chance of taking the lead with a botched extra point and also a missed chip shot field goal.
Right.
Okay? Let's talk about just the overtime sequence real quick,
right.
Okay? I want to understand the thought process because, again, I feel like I have said this nearly every show. Situational awareness, especially this season, I feel like has been terrible.
Right.
Okay? If sure. you are going to go boxing with a juggernaut like that, okay?
Right.
There is no reason to go for the big swing just to get punched with an uppercut for the KO. Okay?
Ooh.
Wow, what that, a bar. What a bar.
This is some astute.
See, that was well thought out. Good job.
Thank you. That might have been the most embarrassing play call I have ever seen for that situation. If you want to take that shot, sure. I don't think that Kansas State was in a position. Let's take the LSU Bama game last year, right? Where they
right.
went for that, I think it was a 2-point conversion, right?
Right.
To win the game. Those were two very good teams playing,
right?
Right? You can go bar for bar on that. This was not that. The only reason you are in this game is because the other team literally gave it to you on a silver platter, and you said, no, no, sir, I don't want it either, okay? And you guys were playing tug-of-war over the plate, okay?
I don't want it either.
Yeah, so, like, you realistically, Kansas State should have never been in this game. I mean,
right.
they were getting absolutely dominated in that
absolutely,
first half. They
yeah.
had no offense whatsoever, right?
Right.
And they only had points due to a special teams mistake on Texas's part.
Right.
So, if... Texas just let them back in the game. The fact that you were even in overtime, take the points. Just
right.
tie the game.
Absolutely.
You shouldn't even be here at this point, okay? But if you're going to go for it, it's one of those things, do not get too cute with it. Well,
right.
what was that? Like, let's pretend to be in I formation, and then we're going to go, like, 5 wide or something like that. And then just for him to, like, slip backwards like he slipped on a banana peel? Like, what was that? Okay? That might have been one of the worst things. Like, I don't know. Especially when it's from the 4-yard line. Right?
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, we're aware, we've heard of, like, the tush push, the brotherly shove, right? Well, that works, right? Whenever it's, like, on, like, the 1-2 yard line.
Yeah.
You're on the 4.
Yeah.
Now, that's a little far to run it.
Right.
Right.
So they know you're going to pass it. It's just, in my opinion, terrible situational awareness.
Right.
Neither of these teams deserve to win this game. If I could just say that a game just didn't count, just didn't exist, I would not credit either one of these teams with this game.
Wow.
Okay. Actually, I'll credit both of them with a loss. Okay.
Wow.
Because this was just abhorrent, like in every stage of everything. I can't encapsulate it any better.
Wow.
I would agree that it was a weird game. Texas was winning by felt like a bunch of points, and then it felt like out of nowhere it was just close and then tied.
Yeah. Can we acknowledge the all-time rant that we just got from
that
Elliot?
Dude,
right
I
there?
Mean, look, I, you know, that was unbelievable. I'm sitting here and I'm in my head, I'm trying to back it up, and I really don't know how. I mean, that was great. That was
unbelievable.
One of your best. Yeah. I mean, some of your best.
You know what? Game respects game.
Yeah. You know, some of your best work there, Elliot. Elliot Miller. Anyways, I don't know if y'all caught this. There was a play. And it's in overtime, and it's first and goal, and it's 33-30. Texas has the lead. Will Howard, the Kansas State quarterback, takes a snap.
Right.
And it's a draw. It's a QB draw.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And he takes the ball.
Right into the line.
Yes. He takes the ball, and he runs left. To the right, there's
a clear,
I don't mean to exaggerate this, a touchdown where all of us walk in. It's a touchdown.
Yeah.
They have it blocked. You know, the play's there. And as soon as he took it to the left and he gets stopped, even though it was only second and goal, in my mind, I said, that was the play. That was y'all's shot to win the game. And it just didn't work out.
And that's fine if the play call, like, if that's, like, the design play call. Why are we designing a rush call? I just want to point something out here from for all my box score merchants out there, okay?
Right.
Out of Kansas State's 360 total yards, 33 were rushing.
That's nuts, man.
Yeah, the
that
rushing was great. That it was all just they didn't
it
do anything.
It was just all passing whenever they were trying to come back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why are you designing QB rushes? Again, why are you getting too cute with it?
Yeah.
Just
I guess I thought they were going to fool them, but you know, that obviously didn't work.
Yeah, that's a tough thing with any time that you are getting these, like, weird, really strange situations. Like, the best example we can possibly think of is, like, for this may be a bit of a reach, and it's an NFL example, but Seahawks-Patriots goal line play.
Right.
You know, everyone, you know, wants to say, oh, Marshawn Lynch has to get that ball. But at the same time, that was a somewhat well-designed play because the other team should be – exactly. The other team should be thinking
I actually argue
thing.
It's probably a better play by the defender on that one.
Absolutely it is.
And it is a poor pass. On
absolutely.
Russell Wilson's
absolutely.
Part.
Malcolm Butler made a heck of a play on the ball, and you know it's easy to, you know, in hindsight, fans love to blame coaches and management far more than they do, you know, players or things like that. It's just easier, I think, for fans.
No, I agree. I mean,
so that's why people would just want to say, oh, you know, like, why don't you give that ball to Marshawn Lynch? Even though still a good play, just you know,
that's one of those things where. If the Seahawks score on that play,
no one talks about
him.
Then
he's a genius.
Exactly. He's
a genius.
Amazing play.
But
call.
Since he doesn't, it's the worst call of all
time.
And
I'm not saying that because they didn't score, it's the worst call of all time. I'm just saying that whole sequence is just embarrassing.
Yes.
There wasn't even traction to gain. I mean, he literally did slip whenever he was dropping back.
Yeah.
That's how bad this play was.
Yeah.
From start to finish.
Absolutely, yeah.
Are you talking about, you're referring to the Kansas State?
Yeah, we're back to
Yes,
Kansas
no,
State,
that
Texas.
Play was just.
That was just a head-scratcher, mind-boggling. I have no idea what we were doing.
I was a believer in that they should have went for it, and I heard the other side, somebody said that, if you think about it, Malik Murphy, he's a redshirt freshman, but he's basically a freshman, saying that he's more prone to making a mistake as far as Will Howard, because he's a you know, he's a veteran.
Right.
So, I don't know. You do come there to win the game, so I don't think it's a bad call. I don't think it's a bad decision to go for the play to win. I do agree with you that the play that was called for the win
I think it culminates in the fact, if that was the play that – because they took a timeout. Like, they took a timeout for that, right?
Yeah, they did.
Like, if you're going to take the time to draw that up – it better be a good play, okay?
Yeah.
Like, clearly you knew that was going to happen. If that was the play that you had in your back pocket, just keep it in your back pocket, man.
Absolutely.
Okay? Like, just keep it in your back pocket. Okay, save it for another day.
Yeah.
Not a good back pocket play, I agree.
Yeah.
not a good play.
That's just how it goes, man.
And, you know, with that said, Texas is not going to lose again. They're just not.
Yeah. They're
Bama
they're,
needs somebody
they
else to lose.
They got back, too, by the way.
Texas is not going to lose again. And also with that, Texas, Quinn Ewers is playing this week at TCU, who was believed to be out this game.
Yeah. What'd you say, Graham?
I was just saying Quinn Ewers is back. Like,
I don't
think they're going to lose.
That's true. Quinn Ewers is back. And
I will say last year when he came back last year, he wasn't as good.
I question with the fact if he rushed his return.
He did last year.
I don't know.
He did last year.
See, and I know people are like, oh, well, TCU's not very good. They're just going to beat TCU by a lot.
Right.
But if he is not 100%, right? I mean, like, what was it? It was a grade 2 AC joint sprain, right?
Yeah.
Would you rather have 100% Malik Murphy or 80% Quinn Ewers?
I would probably rather have 100% Malik Murphy simply due in part to I would rather just have him play against a weaker opponent.
Right.
Right.
I don't think TCU is worthy enough of bringing Quinn Ewers back too early.
That's fair.
You're running a risk of him getting hurt. You have an opportunity to maybe make the college football playoff.
Right.
There is
right.
no reason to put Quinn Ewers in harm's way against TCU.
No. Right. I personally think what they're scared of, I think they can win the next three games without him. I mean, yeah. you got at TCU, you got out Iowa State, and you got Texas Tech.
Right.
I mean, I don't think any of those games are – I don't know.
Nothing earth shattering.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, nothing at all.
It'd be shocking if they lost, I think.
I don't know. It definitely makes the playoff ranking as of where it stands right now. It's obviously still weird.
For sure.
And again, it didn't really change after the last I believe nothing in the top eight changed.
No,
yeah,
I didn't think the top eight were. I mean, the top eight teams won, so it was kind of
exactly. So you can't really change that much.
You know, why not keep them the same?
I think there's still some questions from the first ranking, from the ranking that got us here, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so no, I agree. The initial, it personally doesn't make sense. If you rank Ohio State 1 and you rank them off resume, just, you know, you skip. I give you right. the first 5 because those are the undefeated teams. If you go resume at the top
right.
and you go to 1-loss teams, how is Oregon over Texas and Bama?
Because right.
there's only 3 teams in the nation with 3 ranked wins, that being Texas, Alabama, and surprisingly enough, Arizona.
Right.
So how is Texas and Alabama not 6 and 7, and then right. Oregon behind them, given they have – they play 2 ranked teams, and they have one – I mean, great win at Utah, either way.
It's
Alabama
also a pretty solid
–
it's also
Texas
a pretty
does.
Solid loss.
Oh, and then, well, also –
yes, sir.
Also, like, going off that same point, like, Washington, they beat Oregon at home. I mean, I get it. Florida State crushed LSU in week 1, but, like, since then, they haven't beaten anyone good.
Yeah.
Like,
that's no, fair, but I kind of believe for those type of teams, I think the undefeated should be ahead.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those
even
things
though,
where if you can't prove it wrong, then it's hard to –
I think the question mark is the toss-up between the undefeateds of Florida State and Washington, so ACC or Pac-12,
right.
which way do you lean?
Right.
I think is the main question.
I think if 4 undefeated teams go on, you know, if it goes undefeated, to play itself out because Big 12 doesn't have anybody undefeated. If Georgia, yep. you know, beats Alabama and goes undefeated, then you got Georgia, Florida State, Michigan or Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the big issue is that Ohio State and Michigan are both in the
– Yeah, exactly.
Are both one of them went out.
Yeah,
one of them are going.
What? Yeah.
I mean, one
yeah.
of them are going. I
one
mean,
of
more
them will
likely.
Be 13 and that will make the playoffs.
I mean, Ohio State and I have some strength of schedule numbers in front of me, and Michigan for the season is 112th.
Right.
And strength of schedule. Now, that being said, there
if you
is
add
a,
stealing science to that, it probably goes down yeah,
probably
to like,
even
100, like 160
yeah,
something like that.
That's fair.
But Michigan is left with a very interesting schedule for the rest of the season. They are at Penn State, and then they yep. host Ohio State.
Who would be that? Who's that sandwich?
They got at Penn State, at Maryland, then Ohio State.
I don't think right. they lose.
Those are,
oh,
Maryland's
yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, so one of those teams is definitely not making it because of the Penn State.
Exactly.
Yeah, Penn State's the trump card, although Drew Allard did not look great in his yeah. outing against the
Ohio State.
Top
he did not look
Ohio
great.
State.
Nah, he looked he like a plum. Just
but
saying.
It will be, I mean, obviously you have to be excited for the Michigan-Ohio State game. I
oh,
mean,
yeah.
every year, but it almost feels like,
yeah.
you said, well, you're like, you still got a 1-3.
Genuinely don't know who wins that game.
Yeah, that one's tough. That one is tough.
Hey, no. Are the Steins being steeled?
That is an important factor we have to include. Oh man, here, tell you what, if we got nothing else to add for this game, we're going to go to break for a little bit and then talk some Alabama LSU when we get back. But for now, we will see you guys in a few minutes. Hey, everybody. Welcome back from that short break. We're going to continue our talk on playoff, I guess really playoff-implicated football games. But before we get to that, we're going to review this Alabama-LSU game. Is anybody really wanting to
yes,
talk about this game?
Me.
Adrian, take
it away.
Take it away, Adrian.
I got 2 words. Anybody got a guess what they are?
Roll Tide.
Jalen Milrow. Really, great guess.
Graham with the swing and the miss there. That'll be a deep drive into left center field.
Great swing. 155 yards and four touchdowns on the ground. 219 passing yards through the air, which is the exact number Jaden Daniels had.
Right.
I don't care what the number is. I don't care if it was 103 yards. I don't care if it was 506 yards. If he matches Jaden Daniels through the air and he also adds 155 yards on the ground, you take that any day of the year.
Absolutely.
Any day of the year. His maturation, what he's done, is just – and I think a lot of it's got to do with play calling. The play calling has been more rounded to Jalen Milrow's game. He's not playing to the Alabama offense. Right. He's playing to the Jalen Milrow offense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's just better. I don't care what people are going to say about LSU's defense. Jalen Milrow's gotten better. He's just gotten better, and he's
absolutely
good.
Absolutely has.
If you get this Jalen Milrow week two, Bama beats Texas. This is just a fact.
Yeah.
They look really good. Receivers look good. Bama's a very dangerous team. If he plays like that every game with that second half defense and the adjustments they call, Bama's going to be very tough.
Those defensive adjustments for the second half, man. Like that.
And look, there's four people in here. There's me, you, and there's Graham. And there's Elliot. One single person out here. I wasn't going to say his name. No, look. There's one single person that has disrespected.
Say my name.
It's Elliot Miller has disrespected this Alabama defense through and through.
Every single week, I
get a text that they're overrated, that they're not that good.
You do disrespect
and that they're
them.
Bums.
I never said they were bums. Okay.
You have called this defense heavily overrated.
I will say I have said heavily overrated. Yeah. This is what I will say, okay? This defense is very reminiscent. I will also use an NFL example, okay? I see this defense a lot like the Steelers defense. Hear me out.
Pittsburgh.
Give him a chance.
Okay? Because they give up a lot of bizarre chunk plays.
Right.
Okay? For some odd reason, they'll just leave guys wide open, blown coverages downfield. Right. There'll be one guy every game that they just can't seem to cover. Yeah, in this case, it was Malik Nabers. Mm-hmm. Okay? But then, whenever the second half comes around, they decide to tighten up a little bit, and they make a key turnover that shifts the tide of the game.
Right.
I see this like clockwork on Sundays. That's exactly what happened in this game right here. Absolutely. That first half, I was like, boy, this is going to be like that A&M LSU game whenever it was like 72, right. like 74, 72. Okay? But in that second half, what was the key point? Okay, so one of my X factors was Malik Nabers last week. My other one was Dallas Turner, who was the one who caused that interception to occur when he jumped up out of that ball, right? And that was the spark that the team needed in that second half.
Absolutely.
Flip the script to going the other way.
Absolutely. And it's worth mentioning for this game that without Jaden Daniels on this football team, man, LSU does not even stand a remote. Right. Like, you have to credit Jaden Daniels so much. Yeah.
Well, they're 6-3 now. Without him, they're maybe not a bowl team. Like genuinely. Seriously,
looks grim.
I mean, they're 6-3 with him.
Well, yeah, I mean,
where are they without him?
And it's easy, especially seeing it, you know, in person, seeing it up front on what Jaden Daniels does for this team.
There were so
many times where he drops back for 5-6 seconds, then obviously nobody gets open, and he gets out of there, and we just couldn't contain him, no matter what.
LSU's protection was pretty good.
I haven't watched.
It really was good for a lot of the game.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I thought it was good for. I mean, we only got one sack. Which I will say, not disrespecting their offensive line, a good bit of that had to do with Jaden Daniels just being Jaden Daniels.
Absolutely.
Him getting out of plays and any other quarterback where it's a sack, he just got out of it. I haven't watched every LSU game. I will say one game I know for a fact they lose without Daniels is Missouri.
Yeah. Also, Arkansas. Don't forget about Arkansas.
Remember,
34-31. Arkansas was competing with them in Death Valley.
Big part.
Yeah, it was a good game. Defense, once again, I mean, if you look at Alabama's defense, you look at the second half, obviously after the Texas game, you revert back to the first big game since Texas, Ole Miss. They give up three in the second half.
Right.
And then you go to A&M. They give up three in the second half. And then you go on to Texas. Tennessee. They give up. They have a shutout in the second half.
Yeah.
And then LSU, who's statistically the best offense in the nation, they give up seven.
Yeah.
So in their four big SEC games, they've given up 13 in the second half.
Yeah. Right. That's dominant defense. I really like the second half defense. Mm-hmm. It's just awesome. The first half defense for me leaves a lot to be desired.
Right.
Because the problem is you dig yourself a hole too deep. As inspired as I am by Milroe's performance, which was incredible, by the way.
Right. Okay? But you don't want Milroe playing
this from behind. This is not that sustainable.
Much.
This Absolutely. Is not a sustainable yeah. formula.
Especially, okay? I think what you, on top of the second half defense, one thing you said that I do agree that was is not as sustainable is the big turnover. You can't just put your, you know, all your eggs in one basket that they're going to get that turnover
exactly.
every week.
Right. Exactly.
But now, I don't know. Their second half defense adjustments could. I mean, I don't know,
it's
man.
It's crazy.
What offense are they going to play from here on out that's LSU's?
I don't think they're playing the offense. That's fair. I understand, like, again, statistically, like, the best offense in the nation, right? Keep in mind that they did hold them to only 7 points in the second half, right?
Right.
They still have 478 total yards. Yeah. Most of these yards are coming in the first half,
right?
Which is bad. That's really bad. If you look at it from just a first half perspective,
right? Terrible.
This team's defense, low key, stinks.
Yeah. No, that's second half. I mean,
brutal.
That first half was
and
bad.
And that's why I like to say heavily overrated. Yes, you can sit back and be like, well, they made the clutch play at the end of the game. Again, but if they're giving up like 400 yards solely in the first half, that's terrible.
Right.
Okay, I don't care that like this great that they pulled it out in the end, but like they shouldn't be putting themselves in that situation.
Right.
I would like them to play a more complete game.
Absolutely, and that, I mean that touchdown with what was it like a minute short, maybe short of a minute left in the first half. That touchdown was brutal.
That was a killer.
Exactly. And again. Jaden, I can't give enough credit to Jaden Dennis. That throw he had up the sideline to Malik Nabors, that was somewhat
probably
tight
the best
coverage
play that I've seen against Bama that this season.
Yeah, I mean
he
couldn't have walked out there and handed it to him better than where he placed that ball in that throw.
I
want to
give you all this stat, a stat that I've seen.
Please
okay,
do.
Through 9 games, Alabama's played 5 teams in the top 21 offenses: the number 1 offense, the number 12 offense, number 13 offense, number 18 offense,
right,
and the number 21 offense. In those 5 games, Alabama's given up 19 points per game. I know statistically, if you look across the board with points per game and yards per game and, you know, yada, yada, whatever you want to say,
right.
Georgia statistically has a better defense than Alabama.
Right.
I think if you look at relative to who they played and how they performed, the Alabama's defense is not only better than Georgia's, possibly the best defense in the nation. I mean, you've played in 9 games, you've played 5 top 21 teams, and you've given up an average of under 20 a game in those games.
Nobody else
has played that type of, you know, firepower and did that. I personally think.
And as much as we talk about the lackluster first half defense, you still have to. I mean, you know, football is about winning the game at the end of the day.
Hey, look, it's 4
exactly.
quarters. It's 2 halves.
Exactly.
And you see what they do in the second half.
Exactly.
That matters just as much.
You
can argue more than
exactly
more than the first half.
Exactly. But yeah, man. I mean. Anything else do we want to add about this game? I feel like we've covered a lot.
I feel like we covered everything.
I mean, I think the story of this game is yet again two things. Offensively, Jalen Milroe's maturation, and then defensively,
absolutely.
It's just been a continuous story all year that second half defense of Alabama is just really good.
Absolutely.
I actually have 3 words.
Okay.
Bring on Chattanooga.
Bring on Chattanooga.
What about
Chattanooga?
You're next.
Number one in their division, actually.
Wow.
They are actually.
Okay.
Alabama's got a chance to clinch the West this weekend.
Right.
I think Alabama comes out and plays really mature. I don't think that they have a scare against Kentucky. It's 11 a.m. kickoff. I think they come out, clinch the West.
Right.
Punch their ticket at
I mean, technically, we don't even need to win as long as Georgia beats Ole Miss. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's
like,
actually,
we could lose 100-0.
But if you're rooting
of course, you might actually be
weird for that.
Let's just see Bama win.
I mean, but, like, of course, we want to go the playoffs, and I mean, it's clearly a must win. Obviously,
do we have time before we go to commercial?
We'll do one. Go ahead and get
do
your.
Do you guys think, and I'm going to tell you what I think when I ask a question,
please,
is this Saban's best coaching job? Since I personally been watching, I think this is his best coaching job, and I say that in regards to last year, I think last year was his worst coaching job.
Well, yeah,
I said that throughout the season. I said with the talent this team has, with the experience this team has, this last year, going back last year, I thought it was his worst coach job.
Right.
Just you got Bryce Young, you got Will Anderson, the number one offensive guy, number one defensive guy, a lot of other guys that are experienced, and they just did not perform how I thought they should.
Absolutely.
And I thought it was his worst coaching job. I think this year, no, possibly, given where they started from, is the best.
I mean, I'll level with it.
Yeah.
It's an argument for sure.
That's not hard to back at all.
No,
it's not ridiculous.
Yeah. All righty. Well, with that, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back and talk about and preview some playoff-implicating games coming up this weekend. But for now, enjoy these few minutes. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the student section for our final segment of the show. We're going to get into some previewing for some of these games that have big playoff implications. First, I'm going to toss a few games at you guys, and I want to hear what you guys think is the most liable for a significant, I guess, shakeup in the ranking system. First, we got USC at Oregon. We have Michigan at Penn State, Ole Miss at Georgia, Utah at Washington. And I'm not going to say Tennessee and Missouri, because that's not really going to be a playoff implication. But yeah, out of those four games that I just said, who do we think is the most likely to have their season shaken?
You want to take a jab at it, or you want me to go? Because I think it's Utah at Washington.
Yeah. See, I would agree there, but Elliot pre-show is not exactly
not. It's not Utah and Oregon.
Graham, please.
Hey, see, it wasn't just me.
No,
okay,
of course
I'm glad
not.
That someone yeah. is in my
look,
corner.
Look,
okay?
The answer is obvious. It's obvious Penn State, Michigan.
Obvious.
It's obvious.
Okay,
Graham.
Some
okay.
confidence.
All right.
Why don't you I guess we're just wrong. We're just obviously wrong.
Enlighten us, Graham, please.
So, look, all right. So, if Penn State beats Michigan, all right, and then you have Michigan beating Ohio State later in the year, the home teams between Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, all of them win. And right now, as of right now, Penn State would go in a three-way tie to the Big Ten Championship.
Would they?
Right.
And they would play, I don't even know, Iowa. You could throw any Big Ten West team. They're going to lose to the Big Ten East team. All
right? Right.
That's going to shake up the rankings big time because, I mean, you could have 12-1 Penn State. You could have possible 12-1 Oregon champion. You could have Florida State, I mean, maybe they'd get in.
Right.
Possible. Then you could also have possible 12-1 Alabama and 12-1 Georgia in that scenario. And Texas 12-1. All
right.
And then, of course, you'd have Michigan and Ohio State non-conference champions. But still, like, you're going to have a lot of one-loss teams right there.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. Look, I'm not saying this to sound like I genuinely don't know. How does Penn State get the nod?
Right,
like, I'm not saying you're wrong. Like, how do they, though?
So
genuine question.
In a three-way tie in that scenario, what happens is they base it off their Big Ten West, like the record of their Big Ten West opponents.
Right.
And right now, the best record of the Big Ten West opponents is the teams Penn State has played.
Right.
Big Ten West being the other side.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't they all be undefeated against Big Ten West?
No.
It's the record
of the teams in
the Big
Ten
record
West.
It's the record of the best teams in
the Big Ten West.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that would leave their conference out. I mean, with Penn State being, what are they, 10 now?
Yeah.
They don't jump Alabama.
There you go.
Well, I mean, it's down to the SEC if Alabama wins out.
Right.
And they don't jump Alabama.
That's a big factor.
If they beat Michigan, they don't jump Alabama given Alabama's resume.
Yeah.
See, there you go. So it would create
a lot of one-loss team traffic.
Yeah.
That's a great argument.
I was going to say the other way around, just given that Washington and Oregon are both ahead of Alabama. And I think if Washington loses, that takes away some of Oregon rematching them and beating them. And that gives Alabama a better chance to jump them. And this is all on the scenario of if Alabama wins out. Because if Georgia wins out, it doesn't matter who else wins out.
Yeah.
Georgia's going to be in the playoff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I think both of those, either way, whatever you want to argue, are the biggest two.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
I think Graham definitely – I didn't realize that is how that they did a three-way tiebreaker.
That's why the Big Ten screwed up, because they got all the teams.
It doesn't matter who comes out of the West. Whoever comes out of the Big Ten West is not going to win.
Yeah.
between who is it, Wisconsin, Iowa?
Yeah, something like that.
It doesn't. It actually doesn't matter because they're not going to win.
So we got. So that was a great answer, Graham, on the win that would shake up the playoff rankings. I do have a secondary question. I can list the games again if you guys want me to. But who do we think is the most likely to lose a game out of the, let's say, the top eight teams? So Oregon, Michigan, Georgia, and Washington.
Well, I mean, just theoretically. What? Well, no, what was I going to say? Who's on the road? Penn State's at home. Michigan's on the road.
Michigan's on the road at Penn State.
I mean, just it's kind of, you know, in college, it's easy to go with the home team.
Absolutely,
yeah. I don't think – I would be shocked if Georgia loses at home.
I would be shocked.
I mean, Dart's got to have the game of his life, and that includes his legs. He probably needs – what do you say, Elliot, 75 yards rushing?
Probably.
What do you think? He's got to have some type of running game with his legs for them to win that game.
Probably
75.
I was still debating on the team that I was going to pick.
Please.
I'm going to tell you why you are all wrong. No,
he's going to say Georgia. Oh,
I am going to say Georgia.
There it is.
And this is why, okay? This Georgia team likes to play things really close to the vest on a lot of these games.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think that the teams that they have played close to the vest just could not capitalize on those opportunities.
That's fair.
Think this Ole Miss team is good enough to capitalize on those opportunities.
Right.
Now, what I saw against A&M last week was a travesty. That is another – we didn't get to talk about this. That's another game where if I could give both teams a loss, I would, okay? Because I don't know what both of you guys were thinking on that one.
How many losses does A&M have within a touchdown in the last three seasons? At least 10.
I could probably go back.
I mean, that's just going, man. You got it, though.
Right. Whatever. Okay, yeah. But so it's one of those things where I think Ole Miss is good enough that they will – like Missouri hung tough until he threw a pick to the defensive lineman.
Well, yeah. they were driving to win the game.
And directly to the defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Could not have been a better ball.
Exactly.
I'm so glad somebody pointed that out. I was watching that live, and I was just like, well, I genuinely have no idea what went through his mind.
Like, I don't know what went into the decision.
The thought process. No clue.
Anywho, Mizzou had a very good chance to win that game at Georgia, by the way,
right.
In which I was told, oh, Georgia's not going to lose at home to Missouri. That was just a fluke last year. No. I had a feeling that they were going to play this one close. And this Ole Miss team, in my opinion, is much more talented, especially this is not a knock against Missouri's quarterback, but especially from the quarterback position.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Really? Brady Cook's kind of decent.
He's good. He's kind of decent.
He's
absolutely.
Not dark.
He's not good. But I think Jackson Dart
is another level. I agree.
He's another tier above.
I agree.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, in my opinion, I think Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin will be able to take advantage of that, whereas Brady Cook and
Mr. Mizzou head coach.
I don't know your name.
I think that
Lane Kiffin and company will be able to take care of business if provided the same opportunity.
There you go.
I great points, Graham. You think we're great points. And I'll tell you exactly why I disagree.
This is why we're here.
It's not that great of a reason. It actually is that great of a reason.
Right.
One reason, actually, and the only reason is because they're Georgia. That's it.
Yeah.
They just win.
Yeah.
They don't lose. They've lost one single game since COVID. I mean, literally.
No, I know.
Literally. Last loss was Alabama in 2021 with Bryce Young, who's halfway through his rookie season in the NFL.
Right.
And that's not mentioning that he played a whole another season after that.
Right.
I mean, they just don't lose. They really just don't lose. And I just – at home – they haven't lost a home game since 2019, and that was COVID.
Wow.
No, it's since –
it was pre-COVID, but
– pre-COVID. Since 2019.
It's wild.
Since Joe Burrow.
Yeah, so they're due up
since
for one.
They haven't played – no, they're not. Not to Ole Miss, who historically is not good in big games. No. Like if you all look right. at Lane Kiffin, he's just not been that good of a big game coach.
Yeah.
His biggest game he's won this year was against LSU.
Yeah.
At home.
I mean, it was a heck of a big game to win. But
3-loss team.
I'm
not disrespecting.
I'm just talking about in the context of the game.
Good game.
However many points in, 60-something.
55-49. Either way, it doesn't matter.
55-49, wow.
They're not – I don't know. They're just not historically – if they was at the Grove now, we'll say they would probably have been different.
Yeah.
I want to say they're 19 – they're actually 20-2,
right.
in the last –
okay. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, like, their home games. I'm looking at their ones from this season, okay?
Yeah.
UT Martin.
Okay.
Ball State.
Fair.
UAB.
Triple fair.
UAB.
Triple fair.
Okay. So those are the teams that they just blew the doors off of, okay?
Right. Okay, none of those teams matter.
Exactly. Respectful. South Carolina, it was 24-14.
Well, they're three games.
Missouri, it's 30-21, okay?
Right.
Which, and that's because they got a field goal off of that pick that he threw.
And
that
also
really
only winged by a touchdown.
Yeah.
Auburn.
So the only really, like, the only, like, I guess, like hard team that they've played at, or like harder team, like competition that they played at home that they really beat was Kentucky.
Which it was Kentucky.
Was 51-13.
Right.
Okay, that's great and all that that's like their streak or whatever. I'm looking at the teams that they're playing at home.
Right.
Right.
They kind of stink.
Yeah.
They kind of stink. I mean, their schedule.
But this season in particular, the minute that they play someone that has some sort of prowess, they're hanging it real close.
Well, who's the best team they play? Missouri, probably.
Missouri.
Missouri's the best team.
But South Carolina, I guess at the time, South Carolina was still like.
Yeah, well, okay, they suck.
I mean, it was like two games in, but like, they were like okay, right? It was like early enough in the season that you get away with something.
Respectful.
Like, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
So, like, I don't know. I mean, they also struggled, like, at Vanderbilt a little bit. I mean, like, that was
they struggled wind all year, but it's like, I you make a good point.
Ole Miss,
I don't think they played anybody good enough to actually beat them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, I don't think, is a team that if they are provided that opportunity, that they will fumble that away.
Right.
Okay?
It all depends on Dart. I think.
Wait. So are you predicting an Ole Miss win, or are you just saying they have the best
chance? For the culture?
Oh,
hotty toddy, okay. Oh, we're going with Ole Miss this week. Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
He's making an interesting show. They're not gonna win.
I like it, man. I like it. I like it a lot.
Wow.
I like it a lot, mainly just because I want Georgia to lose. But I mean, I'm still
here. It's a Georgia native. You're a Georgia native.
I am a Georgia native.
Either way, they're not gonna lose. It doesn't matter who's from there.
I think
Georgia's gonna win.
Oh man, that's funny.
I will be tuned in.
Georgia by more than 14. Hey, you know it's a night game.
You know what?
Does that matter at all? Does that factor in?
Hey, you hear that? That's called the winds of change. Okay.
You know
what the winds of change are telling me?
What's that?
Ole Miss by a milli, okay?
Oh,
come on.
Maybe Georgia will just fall off the map and this one streak they have doesn't matter. Maybe they won't win again this year.
You know what? Let's unpack the rest of their schedule. Then.
No, come on. As you say that, seriously.
Look,
before we leave, if they do lose this game, given that Tennessee wins at Missouri, I don't know where they win. Say Tennessee wins at Missouri, let's count that as a win, and Georgia loses next week at Tennessee is for the East.
Yeah,
like, I mean, yeah, that, it's not that far out.
At Rocky Top is. Difficult.
At Rocky Top for the East. When's the last time that Tennessee played for the SEC Championship? I think it's 07?
Probably.
07?
That's pretty wild.
Seriously, though. If it's at Rocky Top for the SEC Championship, imagine that crowd.
That would be unreal.
Carson Beck at that crowd.
Yeah. That's going to be tough. And then follow it up in the battle for the Peach State where A&M legend Haynes King could pull off another
upset. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
That battle for the Peach State. Talking about clean old fashioned hate is crazy.
Man,
that's awesome.
If Kansas State – I'm sorry, I don't want to. If Georgia Tech beats Georgia, if they beat Kirby Smart –
dude,
how would that affect Kirby Smart's legacy?
Somebody raised a sprinkler and tripped a player. Something's gone.
There's something behind the scenes that we just don't know about that we'll probably never know. But Haynes King is not winning at Georgia.
Okay.
I don't care what he does.
Come on, man.
To be honest, I had no idea that Haynes King.
He is the starting quarterback.
Oh, well, you know that? What was the game that they won on the last play? Or they won like in a.
You're talking about Miami? Where Miami instead
I think
of
so,
kneeling
yes,
the ball
yes, yes, yes,
fumbled
yeah.
it?
Miami, Christian Leary.
But they won two games like that. Georgia Tech won two games at the very end. Haynes King heroics.
Oh, wow. Well, you know Christian Leary caught that touchdown.
Oh, wow.
You know who that is?
No.
Okay. He's a Bama transfer.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew when you said that you didn't have a clue.
Okay, it was North Carolina. That was the team that Haynes King, he threw like a dart at the end to beat North Carolina.
They're undefeated against ranked teams. And they're going to beat Georgia for Georgia's third straight loss.
They actually are not undefeated against ranked teams because they lost to Louisville by 5.
Were they 2-1 against ranked teams? That's not bad, though, really.
That's not bad at all.
Is that at Louisville?
It was at home.
Okay. Well, see, either way, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
I mean, no. Sears 2-1 against ranked teams.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think they're, you know, three against the other non-ranked teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there we go.
Okay, well,
hotty-totty this week.
Hotty-totty.
I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
A lot of points made. A lot of points made in the past few minutes from I mean, it's almost been too many points.
Before we end the show, I saw I want to say, I owe Elliot $30. Ole Miss wins.
You owe Elliot $30.
Because I told him during the show.
There's not even a bet. He just offered me
$30. No, there's no bet.
That's how confident he is.
There's no bet. I just show him $30 if they win.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man. Is there anything else we want to?
Let's throw in another, because we were talking about teams ahead of Alabama that we think has the best chance to lose.
Right.
Right. What about Washington?
See, that was
they're at home.
No.
See, that was what we started off with, and then Elliot shut it down, but you also kind of shut it down too. That was the shake-up section.
That was the shake-up section. We're talking about who we think.
So, yeah. Give us some thoughts.
Utah's quarterback is quite literally a farmer.
So, look. They beat Arizona by just a touchdown.
Right.
They snuck away from Oregon. They needed a pick six in the final minute, or 2 minutes, whatever it was, to beat Arizona State at home.
Right.
All right. They nearly lost to Stanford. Okay, Stanford, they're not great. And they needed to shoot out to beat USC.
Right.
They've had lots of close calls here.
That's not unfair, but it seems to be Adrian and Elliot.
If we're talking best chance for teams ahead of us to lose.
I would agree.
See how there's a good chance where, in fact, when the Oregon team that hung tight with Washington or whatever just absolutely took Utah out the pasture, to continue Adrian's farmer.
Took Utah
metaphor.
Out the pasture.
No, their quarterback's literally a farmer.
It's a pig farmer, yeah.
Literally. He's a bum.
astute analysis from Adrian.
Okay, but like my point is, like, this is quite literally like probably the Heisman front runner, like versus like a backup,
because versus a farmer.
I mean,
a farmer. Yes. Okay.
Heisman.
So my prediction for this game: Michael Penix. Okay, is gonna take Utah out the pasture. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That's fair enough.
I hope you're right.
So, Elliot, do you think that the Ole Miss win is more likely than the Utah win at Washington?
I actually do think so.
No, Utah's actually a lot more, have a way better chance to win.
Yeah, I think I would agree.
Yeah.
Graham, you agree?
USC
has a chance
against Oregon. Chance to lose.
Who? What'd he say?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
What, are you talking about Oregon has a chance to lose?
No, Washington.
He's saying Washington.
Either one of the
Pac-12
has had a better chance than
I think. No. You know what? Actually, I'm going to revise my statement. I think each of these teams equally have a likely chance to lose.
I don't think Oregon has a chance to lose.
No chance against Caleb Williams?
Nah, they have a chance.
A chance, but
low,
very,
low.
Very low.
Very low chance. You need a
like,
complete.
Oregon is going to put up 60-plus if they really want to on that defense.
That's fair.
And you need a complete legacy.
And Oregon's defense is really good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All righty. Well, anything else we want to add before we get out of here?
Yeah, I got three words for y'all.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Here we go. Let's go Steelers on Sunday.
I know. Those are the three words he looked at before the show.
It was here we go, okay? That was the three words. Okay, fine. I got three more words for you. Fire Matt Canada.
That reminds me of the Charles Barkley thing.
Oh, man. All right. We're going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here before this goes more off the rails. Thank you, everybody, for listening. My name is Tanner Thompson. This has been Elliot Miller, Adrian Wesley, and Graham Bacco. We will see you all next week.